Good morning, Ebenezer family and friends. We made it. You may say, what did we make it to? The first Sunday in 2024. I just want you to give God some praise, some hand claps, lift up those hands. Just thank the Lord that we made it to a new year. And as we go into this new year, some of you have made resolutions. I'm going to do this, I'm going to do that. Well, I want you just to seek the Lord more. I want you to give him your whole heart, mind, soul, and strength. As you can see on my background, we've got a chalkboard up there, and we've got some ones and twos. We're going to be dealing with just the basics of Christianity this year, just walking in what God has called us to do. We're not going to try to get deep. We just want to live our lives that is in a pleasing way to the Lord. And I pray as we go to this year that we all will be continually directed by the Lord. We've got things that are on ebcnc.com to help us out. One of the big ones is our Bible reading plan. Yes, we are reading through the Bible together, 2024. This year, we're going in a chronological manner. So, if you go to ebcnc.com, you'll see the links there where you can click on that Bible reading. You can add it to your calendar. So, each day when you open it up, there's a hyperlink on the inside. You click on that and you go right to that Bible reading and you can continue with us. And we're going to make our way through the Bible again together. So, I encourage you to start afresh with us today if you haven't already. And let's read through the Bible together. And thank the Lord for the way He has blessed us to be able to have teachings online on our Mondays. We have Monday manna at 7 o'clock on our virtual connection, Tuesday noonday Bible study on our virtual connection, and Wednesday virtual connection at 7 o'clock, where we're going through the book of Luke. And we also have our in-person Bible study starting at 6 o'clock, right in the sanctuary at 2700 West Vandalia Road, where we're going through the book of 1 Corinthians. And it has been very challenging as we are applying it to our lives. Please, please continue to pray for all our other programs that are going on. We have our youth that are doing things today and encouraging them later on. And we've got our women's ministry and other ministries that are reaching out really to encourage people in their lives as, again, we grow closer to the Lord. Please don't stop praying for our 8:45 in-person service, our 10:45 in-person service, and of course, our 10 o'clock online. That's enabling us to reach not just our members, but people who are in different areas that are just looking for a word and just want to worship, want to seek God's face. Well, I'm thinking about the word today as we go into this a new series, that topic, going back to the basics. And I'm telling you, the Lord is going to do some wonderful things. He's already blessing me in my life, and I know He's going to bless you. Well, I want you to focus in, prepare your hearts, and we'll see you soon.
I'll be in Ephesians 4, 25th to the 32nd verse. Therefore, putting away lying, let each of you speak truth with his neighbor, for we are members of one another. Be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your wrath, nor give place to the devil. Let him who stole steal no longer, but rather let him labor, working with his hands what is good, that he may have something to give who has need, to give him who has need, rather. Let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth, but what is good for necessary edification, that it may impart grace to the hearers. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ forgave you. May the Lord add a blessing to reading his word.
I thought number one would surely be me. I thought I could be what I wanted to be. I thought I could build on life seeking sand, but I can't without you holding my hand. I thought I could do a lot on my own. I thought I could make it all alone. I thought of myself as a mighty big man, but I can't even walk without you holding my hand. Lord, I can't even walk without you holding my hand. The mountain's too high and the valley's too wide. I'm down on my knees. I've learned to stand because I can't. I think that I'll make Jesus my choice from now on. When I'm in trouble, on him I will call. If I didn't trust him, I'll be less a man, because I can't even walk without you holding my hand. Lord, I can't even walk without you holding my hand. The mountain and the valley's too wide. I'm down on my knees. I've learned to stay because I can't even walk without you holding my hand.
I love that song that Deacon Mebane sang, we can't even walk without him holding our hand. As we're in 2024, I want you to keep that mindset. Really, he will never leave us nor forsake us. Well, before we go any further, I just want to open in prayer and I ask you to prepare your heart to pray with me. Let's pray. Father, we come to you and I just thank you for hearing us over and over again. You are a gracious God, Lord. Thank you for that. Father, if there's someone that's listening, viewing now that doesn't know you, I pray that today be their day, that they will confess with their mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in their heart that, Father, you have raised them from the dead and you said they would be saved. Oh, Lord, that they experience that wonderful salvation. Lord, I thank you for your cleansing power, forgiveness of sin. And Holy Spirit, we welcome you. Would you teach us today? Would you guide us? Would you lead us into all truth? Would you make this word so plain, so easy to be understood that even a small child can be transformed to be like you. Thank you again for your presence, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. On the chat, can you just put amen wherever you're sitting, standing, just say amen. Well, as we have entered into 2024, Lord has put on my heart. I've actually been talking about this for the last couple of months at least, that a new series was kind of on our hearts. We have finished fulfilling our call in 2023. And so as we go into 2024, I've been talking about back to the basics. So that's going to be the topic for the year, at least until we switch over to something else. So back to the basics. And the meaning of that back to the basics is just really focusing on Being the Christian that God has called us to do, looking at certain building blocks that maybe we have forgotten about, or maybe we just need to review. And if you remember that chalkboard and those 1 + 1, 2s and 3s, sometimes you just got to review those things. I remember with our kids, we homeschooled and then they transitioned into a college setting and they would bring stuff home and we'd have to review the basics so that we could understand those extensive problems that they particularly had within their homework setting. I also had one of our members to do a little research, to reach out to some of the people that were part of the church and outside of the church. You know, what are some basic topics that maybe you've missed out or maybe you want to review so that you can get stronger? So there's a list. So I just want to kind of go through this list. And so as we're going through these months, we're going to be kind of including this. We're going to be talking about this. They came up with this list. They talked about the blood. They said they wanted to know more about the blood and how to be saved. They were concerned about sanctification and the opposite of sanctification. They talked about shame and guilt. They wanted to understand shame and guilt, dependence versus independence, basic Bible stories. So often we can take that for granted. Those who have been in the Bible for a long time, there's some that don't have those basic Bible stories. And they gave some examples. So they want to talk about Noah a little bit and Samson and Elijah, Deborah and Jael, Jacob, relationship with God. They were concerned about that. They wanted to make sure that their relationship, connection with God was strong. Reading through the Bible, we've got some things that are set up, but we'll talk about the importance. Why do we need to read through the Bible and how to pray? So often, so many people have been taught different ways how to pray. It's right in the scripture. So we're going to be dealing with that. How to witness to others. You know, how do I share my faith as I go through my daily routines? And how do I share it with my family? They wanted to know more about accountability and discipleship. A community, you know, how do we encourage one another? We're actually doing community now, even on this virtual connection, church hurt and authority in the church. They wanted to deal with those topics that can be found within the scripture. They were also concerned about tithing and giving. And I thank you as often as I can for your giving. And we've set up things within our church that we can be givers from our heart. We can purpose and we can give as a cheerful giver. And so we're going to deal with that from a perspective looking at the scriptures, how we give, not just in the body of Christ, a physical church, but as we go through our day, they wanted to know more about finances. And then finally, the Trinity, Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. So just wanted to give you kind of a little review as we are progressing in this year, back to the basics, some of the things that we're going to be talking about. Well, today I want to go to one of my favorite books. As you know, I've told you I'm into memorizing. I went through 1 John and now I'm going to the book of James. And the reason I'm going to the book of James, many, many years ago, I started out memorizing James and I just gave up. I had got caught up in something else. Life came at me fast, but I started back on that. And so I find it interesting as the Lord leads me back to the book. And if you were with us on last Sunday, we were actually taking a portion of this chapter one, and we'll eventually get to that. I wanted to jump into that section, but I think we're going to work through that first chapter of James that we get back to the basics and get some understanding. So today, let's go to the book of James, chapter one, and the fourth verse. The book of James, chapter 1 and the 4th verse. It reads, "But let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete and lacking nothing." Isn't that good? Again, that James 1 and 4. "But let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing." I want to speak from a title today, The Calm Christian. Yes, the calm Christian. Today, as we deal with that calmness, it's slash patience, just a synonym that we're using here. And I'll be honest, I think To be calm, to be patient is challenging for everybody. I think as you get older and mature in God, that patience, that calmness comes a little bit more. But we're going to deal with that via the text today. If we can walk as calm Christians, I believe nothing's impossible for us, that God can use us in varying situations. As we look at these scriptures today, I want to encourage you to know that God wants to take you through a process of patience that you can be that calm Christian. Wanted to give you some quotes, and these are several quotes that I've chosen that have touched my heart as we are progressing into this chapter that really focuses in on that calmness or patience. Joyce Meyer, an evangelist, she said this. She said, "Patience is not the ability to wait, but the ability to keep a good attitude while waiting." And that good attitude. And some of us, I'm telling you, man, you go through a fast food line and you don't have a good attitude. You're like, what's taking them so long? You couldn't cook it that quick. And so we're gonna deal with that. That is a part of our maturity. That is a part of the basics of being a Christian. And David G. Allen, a business consultant and professor, he said this. Listen to this. Patience is the calm acceptance that things can happen in a different order than the one you have in mind. Yeah, oftentimes we've figured it out. I've got some things that I'm believing the Lord for now. And, in my mind, I'm like, okay, God, this is how you're going to work it out. But saints, God can choose whatever way He wants, but He wants us to be calm in the midst of that. He wants us to be patient as we work through and we trust Him in His will. Finally, Aristotle, the philosopher, he writes this. He said, "Patience is bitter, but its fruit is sweet." I want to say that again. Patience is bitter, but its fruit is sweet. I think all of us can identify with that because patience, it is not easy to deal with patience in our lives, that calmness, but the benefits of that, it is sweet. The time frame of this particular book is around 46 to 49 AD. James is known as the half brother of Jesus. Yes, the half brother of Jesus. He is, as he's writing this particular portion of scripture, led of the Holy Spirit. He is the leader of the church in Jerusalem. And throughout this epistle, he is actually talking to the Jewish believers and he's letting them know, you just can't say it. You've got to walk through it. It has to be a part of who you are. Your faith has to be an everyday application. We're talking about the calm Christian. So often I've seen Christians that, they're big on Sunday. We dress up or we come to a fellowship and we sit around and we're able to do all of those things that say we're Christian, clap our hands and sing songs. But when it comes to application in our lives, there is the struggle. Let's jump into this section of scripture talking about the calm Christian, James 1:1. James, a bondservant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad, greetings. Here's the first point. We are servants of the Lord. We are servants of the Lord. Now, that is one of the basic foundation points. We serve God. We not just serve God on Sunday, but we serve God 24 hours, 7 days a week, 365 and a half. As long as He gives us life, we're serving, and even technically in the afterlife for Him, we're serving Him. Now, in the Greek here, there's a word that comes out very powerful. It's bond servant. I want to define this for you. It means to be under the direction of the one who owns him, to be under the direction of the one who owns them. We are owned by the Lord. I know. In this society, we don't like to think about that, but it comforts me. If you are a true Christian, you should be comforting. God owns us. Remember our memory scripture from 2023, 1 Corinthians 6:19. It says, "Or do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God, and you are not your own?" 1 Corinthians 6:20, "For you were bought at a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God. I want to read that again, that 1 Corinthians 6:19, because we are owned by the Lord. Or do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God, and you are not your own, for you were bought at a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. I'm talking about the calm Christian. James at one time was challenged. He did not believe in his brother as the Messiah, the Christ. You're like, Pastor, what do you mean? Yeah, we find it in the scripture, John 7:5, for even his brothers did not believe in him. They were struggling. I don't know what that family life situation was like, but to have a brother that's, you know, doing all these miracles, signs, and wonders, but yet he's still your half-brother, that whole dynamic and whatever, he didn't believe. But finally, he came to the point. And when we come into the true saving grace and understanding of God, everything changes within our lives. Now, as you look at that scripture a little closer, it talks about the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad. These were referring to the Christians that were brought out of persecution. When you go to Acts 8:1, you'll see they were scattered abroad. These are the Christians that had to learn how to be calm Christians as they were going through their trials and tribulation. A basic understanding of Christianity is to serve Christ with everything that we have. Can you put in the chat everything, everything? Wherever you're sitting, standing, just say everything. We want to serve the Lord with everything that we have. Matthew 22:37, Jesus said to him, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. Again, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and all your mind. This is the first and great commandment. Jesus says this. And so as we're striving to be calm Christians, that standard is we got to give him everything. All the things that come against us. I know the enemy is trying to put worry in our mind. He's hitting us from the left to right. We're in 2024. We're thinking about the things that are going to come up. We're worried about the wars. We're worried about the public that's going on in public. People are being shot, and we're concerned about our kids, our schools. We're concerned about the presidential race. I could go on and on, all these concerns, but as a Christian, we're calm. You know why? Because we know that God is still in charge. There ought to be some praises out there. When the enemy is coming at us like a flood and he's trying to knock us to the left or right, we got to be steady in the Lord. We're talking about the calm Christian. Look at James 1:2, as James builds on this as he's led of the Lord. He says, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. Here's the next point. We have joy. We have joy. Can you put in the chat joy? Wherever you're sitting, standing, can you just say joy, joy? That's wonderful. As many of you know, I have one of my children's name's Joy, and we often pick on her in a loving way because of her name, and we say that she brings us joy, joy. And it does. Just to hear that name, J-O-Y, it brings something. It should produce something on the inside. But notice in this scripture, we've got to deal with the trial part. Yeah, we can have joy even when we're going through this. This is a word for you. A trial is anything that brings pressure against our faith in Christ. I want to repeat that. A trial is anything that brings pressure against our faith in Christ. Stuff is coming at us and pressure is coming against us, trying to get us that we're upset or we're caught up in things. We're not trusting who the Lord really is. Author Ron Lambros in his book, All My Love to Jesus, he writes this. He said, God does not want our faith to kept in mothballs. Now, some of you, you don't remember that, but I remember growing up, mothballs in my auntie's house and grandma's, they'd be up in the attic and it was supposed to preserve things, but they would just be up there and it would smell. But he says, our faith is not like this. So he sometimes allows trials and testings to come into our lives, the unexpected hardships and heartbreaks that rock us in places we never thought we'd face as a child of God. Any of you been there? You find yourself in situations and struggles that you just didn't expect. It could be on a daily basis. Curveballs are thrown at you. Boomerangs come back at you. We find ourselves in these situations, and it's in those defining moments that we knock off the cobwebs of our everyday faith and face life with a new and approved one that's empowered by God Himself. Sometimes, I'm talking about the calm Christian, God allows us to go through tough times so that we can lean into our faith, lean into the Lord, and we can grab our daddy, Father God, and say, Lord, if you don't help me through this, there would be no help. There ought to be some shouts of praise. Some of you are looking at your life in 2023 and you're like, Lord, that's what you did. You allowed me. And now that you transitioned to 2024, you're like, God, you brought me through that. I know you're going to get me through this. That's what it's about to be a calm Christian. That's why we've got to go back to the basics and never forget what the Lord has done for us. Yes, He has blessed you. It may not have been the blessing that you wanted per se, but when you look back over your life, hasn't God been good? So many times I see Christians trying to be so deep. Yes, they're just so deep, and maybe on Sunday, you know, they're walking on clouds, but God is more concerned not just about one day a week. He wants us to be viewed every day. Yeah, how are we living? They're so deep on Sunday, but they're cursing people out on their job. So deep one day of a week, but they're not loving their wives or their husbands. They're upset and kicking their dog. Yeah, I'm talking to somebody out there. We're trying to be so deep in God, but now we're not walking in the basics. We're not calm Christians, but as true Christians, we should have joy. Can you scream out joy? The calm Christian endures circumstances of life. We go through, but we're able to endure with the power of the Holy Spirit without allowing our joy to be taken away from us. Yes, unspeakable joy. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy comes in the morning. Proverbs chapter 17:22, English Standard Version says it like this: a joyful heart is good medicine, but a crushed spirit dries up the bone. I'm telling you, we've got joy when we're calm Christian. Paul the Apostle learned this lesson with his situation with the thorn in the flesh. Paul the Apostle writes 3/4 of the New Testament, really comes into the presence of God, knocked down on the Damascus Road. You know that whole background story, but yet he had struggles, this thorn in the flesh, and specifically a messenger of Satan, where he prayed to God, God, I need you to move this, but God was producing patience or calmness in him. 2 Corinthians 12:8, concerning this thing, I pleaded with the Lord 3 times. Can you put in the chat 3? Can you just scream out 3? That it might depart from me. He was praying 3 times in fervent prayer. God, please take this away. God, please take this away. God, please take this away. But look at the 9th verse. And he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. I tell you, that's some shouting a word right there. My grace, just scream out grace. Can you scream out grace is sufficient? Can somebody type real quick sufficient? It's sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, most gladly I'll rather boast in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. You see how he turned that 180? He's asking God to take it away. God says, I'm not going to take it away. He said, okay, if you're going to leave it, then I got to learn how to praise you in my weak times, in my struggle. I got to be a calm Christian. 2 Corinthians 12:10. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities and reproaches and needs and persecutions and distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I'm strong. I'm telling you, all of us should be challenged by this scripture, because so often we let the little things get us down. But I'm telling you, in 2024, you need decide when the enemy is coming at you to lift up your hands and say, you know what, I will take a praise break right now. When the stresses of life is coming upon you, you got to learn how to call on the Lord and plead the blood of Jesus and know that God is faithful. I'm talking about the calm Christian. Look at James chapter 1, that 4th verse. But let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. That's a heavy scripture. This is the point. God is working on me. God is working. Can you repeat that with me? God is working on me. I wanted you to make it personal. He's working on me. He's working on you. He is working on us. We must grasp the everyday walk that God wants us to be a calm Christian. God is teaching us patience. Yes, we're going to say that over. He's teaching us patience so that we can mature. He wants us to mature and be strong in him. I was talking to a lady the other day, and we were kind of adding up our ages and realized we were both maturing. We were getting older, and I picked on her. I said, yeah, you're getting real old. And she didn't say anything for a good little while. Then I walked past. She said, I got that, what you said. We are, all of us. It doesn't matter if you're a little baby. You're still maturing. You're getting older. Why? Because that's how time does. But God wants us as Christians to become more calmer, more patient in tribulations and situations, because we know something. We know that God is with us. James 1:4 again, but let patience have its perfect work. So when we're calm in these situations, patience is working in us. That calmness is changing something on the inside, that you may be perfect or matured and complete, lacking nothing. Yes, that's why sometimes we do have a lot going on in our lives, but with God, God is able to change us. And some of you are challenged right now. You've got some diseases that you're up against. You've got some family members that are acting crazy. You've got some job situations. Your money's acting funny. And I want to let you know, you just got to be a calm Christian, because God has already worked it out, and we've got to trust him. Fanny Cosby, the gifted blind hymn writer, at 8 years old, she wrote this, and I want you to listen to this. This is profound what she writes at 8 years old. She says, oh, what a happy soul am I, although I cannot see. I'm resolved that in this world, contented I will be. How many blessings I enjoy that other people don't. To weep and sigh because I'm blind, I cannot and I won't. I think about that, and I'm like, my Lord, you use this. Do you know at 6 months, that's when she became a blind, and she makes this proclamation in her life, God, I'm going to be used by you in spite of my handicap. This handicap can actually not be a weakness, but can be a strength. She lives to be 94 years old with this thought. She was a calm Christian, wrote 8,000 hymns, 100 million copies were sold of this. And all of this was done in her blindness. I'm telling you, God is able to do amazing things to a Christian that decides to walk in patience and in calmness. I'm telling you, God wants so much from you and me. Look at James 1:5. If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all liberally and without reproach, and it will be given to him. Here's the point. Christians ask for wisdom. Yeah, basic point. Christians ask for wisdom. Saints, I believe there are challenges in our lives because we're not asking God. Yeah, we pray things habitually sometimes, but we don't think about what we're saying. But I encourage you, you got to ask him. When you got a relationship, you ask. I've learned that as being a daddy and having kids and a family. When people need something, they just ask. And as a daddy, my heart is there. As a husband, my heart is there to want to give that if I can. But we serve a father that just wants us to ask. So often he's already given it to us. We just haven't seen the manifestation. But there's something about asking. James 1:5 again. If any of you lacks wisdom, I need wisdom every day. Any amens, any hallelujahs out there? We need wisdom of God, because stuff is coming at us so quick, man. It's live, and we're trying to figure out, do I go to left or right? Do I choose this? Do I choose that? What do I say? And how do I reply? If you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all liberally and without reproach, and it will be given to him. James says, you know what I found out in my life? If you ask God, he's going to give it to you. He's going to give you wisdom and understanding. James, contextually, he's talking to those who are going through persecution and trials. He's talking to those who have gone through so many situations within their lives. They literally had loved ones to die for the cause of Christ. And he's saying, you know what? You just ask God wisdom to help you to navigate through these waters. Now, as we look at this, a Christian at this time also had to decide, you know what? In spite of what I'm going through, I know that God is still good. In spite of the losses that I'm experiencing, in spite of the struggle, in spite of the enemy hitting me hard, God is still worth it all. Can you put it? He's worthy. He's worthy. He's worthy of it all. He's worthy of all our praise. He's worthy of everything we have to go through in our lives. We've just got to trust him. This is the basis of walking in the Lord. Now, as I was walking in the Lord early in life and training up my kids, one big thing that we all did, we read through the book of Proverbs. Yes, the book of Proverbs. Proverbs is a very special book, 31 chapters. And so, Lord put on my heart, we were going to read a proverb a day because that is the book of wisdom. And I encourage you, if you haven't done that, try that. Man, we need to ask God for wisdom, but there is a wisdom book that he's given us. And we would read that every month, chapter by chapter, going through so much that we've gone through it so much that many of our kids have memorized great portions of the book of Proverbs. And it comforts me as they're out in the world that they got that in their mind, and I've got it in my heart, and my wife has it in her heart, and I want you to have it. That is the wisdom as we're asking God. Proverbs chapter 1 in that second verse, it actually tells you what wisdom about. It says to know wisdom and instruction, to receive the words of understanding, to receive the instruction of wisdom, justice, judgment, and equity, to give prudence to the simple, to the young man, knowledge and discretion. A wise man. Can you just say a wise man? A wise man. Can you say a wise woman? Wisdom comes from God. Will hear and increase learning, and a man of understanding will attain wise counsel. And listen to this, Proverbs 1:6. To understand a proverb and an enigma, the words of the wise and their riddles, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. Talking about the calm Christian. That's why we can be calm, because we have reverence for our God, and we know that he's more than enough. Let me sum this up. James 1:6, but let him ask in faith, with no doubting, for he who doubts is like a wave of the sea, driven and tossed by the wind. For let not that man suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord. He is a double-minded man, unstable in all his ways. Final point. We know that God hears us. Yes. We know that God hears us. That's how we can be calm, right? Because we know when we call on him, he's there. We know that he's already working it out. Talking about that patience, that wisdom. Look at that James 1:6 again. But let him ask in faith with no doubting. For he who doubts is like a wave of the sea, driven and tossed by the wind. We can't doubt. It has to come to a point that we trust our Lord. That's the basics. When you're a baby Christian, you just got to learn to trust the Lord. Trust your father. He knows best. Many of us that had good parents, we understand we had to trust our parents. Even when we didn't like what they told us to do, they were telling us to do certain things for our own good, that we would be blessed or we wouldn't have struggles later on. And I appreciate that as I've matured and I understand what my parents were trying to do. Well, a good father here, Father God, is letting us know that we can trust him. That's where that calmness can come from. Jesus said in a teaching to his disciples on faith in God in Matthew 17:20. So Jesus said to them, because of your unbelief, for surely I say to you, if you have faith as a mustard seed, you will say to this mountain, move from here to there, and it will move, and nothing. And you put in the chat, nothing. Can you scream out nothing? Nothing will be impossible for you. Yes, you can walk in the calmness of God as a Christian. It does not matter your DNA. It doesn't matter what challenges you have. I know people are taking all kind of medicines to be calm, to kind of chill out and doing all kinds of things. But I want you to say, you need to try Jesus. Yeah, try Jesus. You just need to decide, you know what? I want to be a calm Christian, Lord. Lord, and I know that you've saved me. You've given me the Holy Spirit. God, I need you to produce peace on the inside. But so many find themselves in that James 1:8. He is a double-minded man, unstable in his ways. Can you reach up and just grab your head right there? So many times we are double-minded. What that is a beautiful, a poignant picture. We have one mind this way, one mind. We don't know whether to go to the left, the right, the forward. But God said we should not be. When we are calm Christians, we have the mind of the Lord. We can walk in him. I meet so many Christians that should be calm and stable, but they've forgotten the basis. They're double-minded. You can't trust them. You ask them to pray for you, and sometimes they will, sometimes they won't. You don't know the advice if it's the wisdom of God. I am telling you, God wants us to be calm in him. God wants 100%, not 99 and a 5. He wants all of us, as said earlier. As we conclude this lesson today, I want you to be a calm Christian, but it has to be built on the foundation of what Jesus Christ has already done for us. Aren't you glad he came from heaven to earth to walk among men? But I'm so glad for the miracle signs and wonders, but I'm glad he didn't stop right there. You remember when he gets to Lazarus and he's dead for 4 days? He waits and then he gets there. He's calm. He comes into it. Mary's upset and Martha's upset. The people are like, if you had been here, he would not have died. All of this is coming up. People are weeping and struggling with it, but he's calm. Even though he wept for a period, he's able to be led of the Father, and he calls forth Lazarus after he's been dead a long time. And Lazarus, come on, I'm talking about calm Christian. When you're calm Christian, even when things don't look right, you know God is working it out for good. But I'm glad he went on from that miracle, and we find him in the Garden of Gethsemane. Can I read just a few scriptures for you? Matthew 26:36. Then Jesus came with them to a place called Gethsemane and said to the disciples, sit here while I go and pray over there. And he took with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee, and he began to be sorrowful and deeply distressed. When you're a calm Christian, you're going to go through some struggles. Sometimes you're going to have to cry, and sometimes there's going to be stress on you. But remember those quotes. How do you act when you're in the, do you still have your joy? Then he said to them, my soul is exceedingly sorrowful, even to death. Stay here and watch with me. And then at Matthew 26:39, talking about the calm Christian, he went a little farther and fell on his face and prayed, saying, oh my Father, if it's possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as you will. There ought to be some saints to say amen and hallelujah. When we know that God is working it out, we can say, God, I really want it to work out this way. God, I wish you would do it like this. But we can say, not my will, but let thy will be done. Can you put in the chat, say, your will, your will, your will. When you can come to that point and know it's about the will of the Lord, we can really rejoice in the fact that Jesus went to the cross of Calvary for you and me. On that cross of Calvary, taking nails in his hands and nails in his feet. Are you glad about it? He died for us. They put him in a cold grave, but he got up 3 days later with all power and all glory. And now he's on the right hand of the Father, praying for us, interceding for us, that we can become Christians. Why? Because we know our God said it was finished. Yes, he's given us everything that we need. He's praying for us. He's ordering our steps. He's given us his Holy Spirit. We can rejoice. We can be calm, even in the midst of all of the clouds, and say, God, you're faithful. You went to that cross. You died, but you got up with all power. Now you're on the right hand of the Father. I'm telling you, we have an awesome God. You just got to trust him. Whatever you are going through, whatever you're going through, know that the Lord is working it out for your good. Yes, I dare you. You may not be able to see it right now, but I dare you. I dare you. I double dare you just to begin to give him some praise and thank him. Maybe you've got a thorn in your flesh. Thank him. And you can say with Paul the Apostle, when I'm weak, then I'm strong. And you can understand what James was saying. Let patience have its perfect work. If you don't know Christ, that's the basic. Call on him. Trust him that he hears you. Confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus. Believe in your heart that God is raising from the dead. It says you will be saved. That's good news. Man, he'll come in. He'll give you his precious Holy Spirit. And that calmness will be produced even as we go through. To the saints, 2024, God wants to use us more. Yes, he wants to move in our lives in amazing ways, but he wants us to be calm. Yes, let's let patience work its perfect work in us. Let's pray. Father, thank you for this word, Lord. Thank you for taking us back to the basics. God, help us to be strong in you, and no matter what happens in this year, Lord, that we can just rest in you, knowing that you'll never leave us nor forsake us. Lord, thank you for that peace that flows like a river in our lives, Lord. Thank you for your precious Holy Spirit. Lord, we love you and magnify you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Oh, believe that above our Lord our God, we lay our crowns and worship you.
So glad to have you with us as we partake in communion today. Communion is so important, especially as we are transitioning into 2024. I pray that you are able to view our communion into the New Year's service that we had online, that you could be with your families. But if not, this will be the first time that you're taking communion in 2024 as we think about the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ and what he has done for us. As always, even before Bianca and I started, I was like, are we good? And so we're definitely going to pray, and we don't want you to have anything that you're holding against someone, especially as we take this monumental communion when we think about what Jesus has said. And we're going to go through some scriptures, but I'm going to ask Bianca just to open in prayer, to pray over the bread and the juice, and then we'll kind of walk through the scripture today and we'll apply them to our lives. Bianca.
Let's pray. Lord, we praise you and thank you for all that you have done. But most importantly, Lord, we thank you for the sacrifice of your son, Jesus, who died on the cross for our sins. Lord, we ask that you would bless whatever we are taking that represents his spilt blood, juice, or whatever else we may have. And we ask that you would also bless the bread, Lord, that represents his broken body. Help us to remember that sacrifice, remember that spilt blood, that broken body, as we take this communion, Lord. Help us to take it in remembrance of the sacrifice and with a pure heart that only comes from believing in your son, Jesus. In his name we pray, amen.
Paul the Apostle gets a revelation. And we talk about this scripture a lot during communion because it's very vivid of what's going on at 1 Corinthians 11:23. And I just kind of want to sum it up. It says, "For I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said that this represents that whole covenant that he is partaking for us. In the like manner, he also took the cup after supper, saying, this is the represents my blood that'll be shed for you." And it's different versions. Even when we go to the upper room, Jesus talks about my body and my blood. And then it goes down there and it talks about that he who eats and drinks in an unworthy manner will be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. We don't want to be guilty. So it goes on, it says, "But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of the bread and drink of the cup. For he who eats and drinks in an unworthy manner will be..." Now it talks about drink judgment to himself. I don't want judgment. I even give some examples later on in the text. He said, "For this reason, many are weak and sick among you, and some sleep. Some have even died." And so we want to make sure. So if there's anything that you're holding in your heart, just say, "Lord, forgive me." Man, you can push pause. You can send a text to somebody, say, "I'm sorry." And we're going to plead the blood of Jesus as we rest in him. For if we judge ourselves, we will not be judged. But when we're judged, we're chastened by the Lord that we may not be condemned with the world. So all of those scriptures really get us in the mindset that we can go to that upper room. And remember, Christ is in that upper room. It's the final Passover before the crucifixion. And he grabs the bread. It was a loaf at that time. And he breaks it after getting the disciples' attention. And he says, "This represents my body that's going to be broken for you. As often as we eat, let's do it in remembrance of him. Let us eat together." He grabs the goblet after everyone's chewing on that bread in the room, and their attention, their gaze is right there, like his body. And I think this is the heaviest part, the blood. And he gets that goblet. So this represents my blood that's going to be shed for you. As often as you drink it, let's do it in remembrance of him. Let us drink together. Oftentimes I focus on that song, "What can wash away our sins? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make us whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus." As you go through your day, I just want you to thank the Lord for what he did for you and me, all of us, on that cross of Calvary, so that we could live at peace with one another. And most importantly, we can remember what Christ has done for us, that we can walk and become more like him. Back to those basics, just standing with the Lord and knowing he is our everything. Well, as always, thank you for just taking communion with us. And as you go through your day, I want you to walk in the blessings of the Lord.